Welcome back to another episode of the CTV Show. We're back here on a Monday. Thomas Bargnick and Christian Catanacci, as always. Week 8 is in the books in the NFL season. Cat, how's it going, man?
Doing great, Puck. Halloween's around the corner. The greatest, I mean, I'm saying this sarcastically, but the second greatest holiday, I'll call it a holiday of the year. Second greatest, the greatest is New Year's Eve.
I don't know why you... I understand not liking Halloween. But I don't know why you don't like New Year's Eve. That's a bad take on your end.
Because you spend all this money and then it ends up sucking. Like, it's like...
No, it's always... I think that's Halloween. But anyway, speaking of bad takes, it's kind of actually a nice segue into what we're going to be doing today, because we're going back to 2 months ago before the season started, and we're taking a look at our 2024 superlative predictions. Some of them have aged nicely. Some of them haven't. And then we're going to reassess those categories and hand out new picks with what we've seen so far in this season. So it's kind of a fun midway point. Of course, you know, some teams have played 8 games that used to be bang on halfway mark of the season. Now there's, you know, an extra game. We're right around that half-ish point of the season, and there's been a lot of surprises. There's been a lot of things kind of to go as planned. So I'm excited to look back at some of our picks today. You mentioned it was Halloween. How was your you dress up this weekend?
Yeah, I did. I was Fred from Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah?
I found out that I was going to be Fred like about 3 hours before we went to our Halloween party. But yeah, I was Fred. I had to wear a wig, so that sucked.
I was going to say, you kind of have the hair for it.
Yeah, I had to wear a wig.
I'm blonde. But
I had to wear a wig. I used to be blonde back in the day. I mean, back in the day when I was like a little kid, but... I did have bleach blonde hair, like my wig that I wore on Saturday. And yeah, you know, we've had better costumes, me and my fiance. We've had some better ones. We were stepbrothers a few years ago. That was a good one. But again, Halloween, it's fun, but it's also super overrated, right? It's like New Year's, but yeah.
Like, so you know, the New York Jets.
Yeah.
Fun, but overrated.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good one.
All right, let's get into some of these superlatives. I think the best way to go about this is to just... We'll read the 8 categories that we handed out before the season, and we'll read those picks, kind of react to them, say, you know, we were way off there, and then we'll get into sort of handing out new awards. Start off, the first one was breakout player. I had Jaxon Smith-Njigba. You had Jahmyr Gibbs. I think I'll give you a pass. That, I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs has been very good. I don't think he's been like the alpha heartbeat of that offense like you expected him to be. He's been a great player on great offense, but I remember when you vouched for him as a breakout player, even though he was already good last year, you were talking about like complete takeover,
like best
like,
running back
like
in the
Derrick Henry numbers, what he's doing right now.
Yeah,
so, but I mean, he's still had a good season. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, honestly, I feel like he's been a little bit disappointing. I thought he was going to break out a little bit more. Sleeper team, I had the Tennessee Titans is my sleeper team. They've got one win so far, and it was against my Miami Dolphins, which makes it even worse. Will Levis, that experiment feels like it's over. I know he's banged up right now anyways. Complete miss. You were the Chicago Bears. Actually, pretty solid pick.
Yeah, you know what? I am expecting a little bit more from Chicago. I mean, they just lost in heartbreaking fashion yesterday. But I think that's... we're only 2 months into the season here, but as of right now, I think that's trending into a solid pick, because I think Chicago, again, they have a gauntlet to end the season, but they're shaping up to be one of those teams in the NFC that could at least fight for a playoff spot, which I considered them to be when taking them as a sleeper team.
All right, most intrigue was next.
Look, it's still an intriguing team, but they suck, and that's Tennessee. I took Tennessee as my most intriguing team. I see you have, again, despite it being a very underwhelming start to the season, I feel like a lot of people are throwing this guy's name around too much. Like, Steichen came out today and said, like, we don't know if he's going to be the starter. Like, he's only played 10 career games, and he already was incredibly raw. So I would... piggyback on you. You have Anthony Richardson here as the most intrigue. I want to know your thoughts on the pick right now and why you maybe would sort of shelve that if that's the case.
I think the only reason why it's intriguing now is because how disastrous of a situation is. And the intrigue I have when I watch him on Sundays is this guy's completion percentage going to be above 50%? Because he still doesn't have a start this year, or game that he starts and finishes, where he's completed more than 50% of his passes. And I think since like the year 2000, he's ranking 250th out of 255 potential quarterbacks that have qualified for a completion percentage metric. It's just, it's such a disaster right now in Indianapolis. And it makes it even worse that everyone knows that Joe Flacco would give this football team so much better of a chance to win games. It's just due to the fact that, hey, we invested a very, very high draft pick in this guy, and we need to see if there's something there. And when I look at Anthony Richardson, I mean, we knew coming out he was going to be a project, but we're getting into double-digit starts now. He hasn't shown progression. He hasn't shown that he can excel as a passer. And what really stood out for me was that final drive against Houston. You're down by 3 points. You have no timeouts. It's a tough situation where you really get to see the true colors of a quarterback, and it was just complete. It's not even about the talent and his ability to throw the ball at that point. It was the decision-making that was just baffling. The way he managed the clock, and instead of having a shot at a field goal, they had to throw a 50-yard Hail Mary where he got sacked. It's been a disastrous season, and I had him for most intriguing, more so because I felt like, hey, this guy's got a lot of talent. The offense actually has some decent weapons. The O-line's very good. This is a sneaky player who can really pop this year. It's been anything but. I'd probably rank him like 32 of all starting quarterbacks.
You know what he definitely ranks 32 out of 32 in starting quarterbacks is a PR ability, because he came out and straight up just said, I was tired, I needed a break. Like, I'm not in favor of lying. I'm not a big liar. I don't like to lie. I don't like people that lie. But I would have given him a pass if he just said, you know what? I was a little bit banged up. I need to come out for a play. Don't come out and say you're tired. I get it.
He was getting ripped.
Oh, for sure. It's like, you have to at least know. Like, and the way he said it was so nonchalant. He's like, I ain't going to lie. I was a little tired. It's like, okay, probably not the best thing to say in that situation coming off a loss, but I still think he's intriguing. I think he has all the raw ability to be a very good quarterback in this league, so I would still label him as one of the more intriguing players, but absolutely, I think he's definitely been underwhelming with the way we selected these teams, both of us, pretty big misses. Biggest disappointment, we're talking one massive miss, and then one just absolute bullseye, and I had the Green Bay Packers, which, again, pretty big miss. They look very good. But Thomas had the New York Football Jets. His New York Football Jets.
This is the easiest pick. Easiest pick of the year. And I'm actually disappointed that I had to wait a year to watch my Jets takes come to fruition, because Rodgers got hurt last year. And obviously we didn't get to see him play more than 4 snaps. Comes out this year, and it's just a complete disaster. I don't know. It's just at a certain point, one player who has not necessarily been known as the greatest leader in his career, you can't just plug him in and he's going to solve all the problems with your franchise. Robert Saleh was scapegoated. You go out and you get Davante Adams. Now there's a lot of pressure on one guy to make an impact and to change things around when he's joining the team midseason and he's learning a new offense and he's trying to gel with his players. The Jets are a gong show. And to top it all off, you go out and you lose to the Patriots without even Drake May playing. Like, does it get worse than the New York Jets right now?
No, it does not. It does. It is ugly. And the cherry on top was that game yesterday against New England. That was just brutal. The way that, I mean, look, say what you want about the offense and the struggles, but this is a team that people expected the defense to be the focal point. And the fact that you just let Jacoby Brissett drive down the field and score a touchdown to take the lead with a minute left is mind-boggling to me. And I think that wraps up the Jets season in a heartbeat. Like, it's there is no coming back from that. I mean, 2-6, I'm sorry, 3-5, there is a glimmer of hope, but 2-6, it's toast. This is easily the biggest disappointment, and you hit the nail right on the head with this one. So I got to applaud you for that. That was probably the sharpest selection.
Well, we'll move right over to my worst pick because
my worst pick too.
Well, to be honest, all the candidates that we kind of could have picked for that, the second year quarterbacks, you know, your Bryce Youngs, your Will Levis's. I mean, CJ Stroud doesn't really count in this category just because he was so good last year. He's not necessarily going to take a leap. And Anthony Richardson, that was essentially who we were picking from.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like it's weird to call a rookie as a guy to take a leap because they're rookies. But the quarterback was quarterback, or the category was quarterback to take a leap. I picked Bryce Young, someone who under Dave Canales I was very optimistic for this year. You picked Will Levis. I think the real debate is who's been worse this season because Bryce Young's been benched. Will Levis has been hurt, but kind of benched as well. The only win the team has is when he was hurt. Anytime your team's in a situation where there's drama after the game about the other team running up the score on you in the National Football League, it's not really a good look. And that's exactly what happened with Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers in his return to action in Week 8. Blown out by the Denver Broncos. Where, like, you're going to let Bo Nix come in and throw for three touchdowns, run for one, and blow you out. It's just, it's really, really bad. But honestly, this category, like, I don't think you could.
Actually, there wouldn't have been one accurate
pick. There's not a right answer.
For no, there wouldn't.
Especially we were looking at, like, second-year guys.
For sure. There's no way that any of us, looking back at this year, like you mentioned, the three that you could have picked. Right? Sure, Anthony Richardson's maybe the best one. What's that good to say?
I just called him quarterback 32 of all starters, which I'm honestly, I don't think he's the best one.
You call him really quarterback bad. 32, but like even, I don't even know if these guys are starting level quarterbacks anymore. It's like,
that's fair.
It's crazy. On to the next one. It was first coach fired. And
yeah, so we've gotten this one wrong.
Officially wrong, because the first one was the first head coach was obviously Robert Saleh. But I had Brian Daboll and you had Dennis Allen. I think it's fair to say that if we're talking who the more accurate person was, I think that was split right down the middle, right? We had first 4 weeks and then we'll split them the next 4 weeks. Dennis Allen starts the year off hot. Like, we're talking the Saints were 2-0 on top of the world.
Like, historically hot.
Historically hot, yeah. Right? And the Giants, on the other hand, were just bad, right? So kind of flipped. Like, the Giants aren't all that bad now. They're whatever, but it's pretty clear that Brian Daboll is in the future plan, so that's probably a swing and a miss. But Dennis Allen now has gone from on top of the world to now 2-6 with 6 straight losses, who I don't want to spoil too much, but maybe we can give it away. I think we all are in agreement that if we had to pick the next head coach fired, would you pick Dennis Allen?
I think so. I think this is someone whose seat was kind of hot going into the season. I feel a little bit bad for the Saints because Derek Carr got hurt and they were more competitive before that happened, but they just really look boring. They don't have a lot going on. Not really any key core building blocks for the franchise to look towards. We talked about this many times before on the show that if you want to pinpoint the team in the NFL that you don't want to be, New Orleans is probably one or two in that category because they're not necessarily bad enough where you're going to be picking first overall, and they're not good enough where you're going to be making the playoffs. And this is in a very bad division too. So the draft pick's not going to be all that great. The cap situation is also not all that great. They just extended Alvin Kamara, which is kind of a weird move. There's just not a lot to look towards right now, except for the fact that you got the Carolina Panthers on your schedule in Week 9, and they find themselves somehow being 7.5-point favorites in that one. So who knows? Maybe Dennis Allen can pick up a win and, you know, cool the seat off a little bit. But right now, I think you and I, like you said, we'd both agree he's probably the next guy that could go mid-season. I don't know if it would be mid-season. If you lose 7-8 games in a row after starting 2-0, I think that could happen.
Yes, especially if it's to Carolina.
For sure. So we'll see. Something to keep an eye on, and we will revisit that again and see if anyone wants to change their answer when we give our new picks. The MVP award, most valuable player. I had Patrick Mahomes, who is undefeated, so you'd think, oh, you know, what a great pick. He's surely going to win the MVP. Yeah, he's got more interceptions than he does touchdowns. You have Dak Prescott. Cowboys got a losing record. Hasn't been all that great since he signed the $60 million contract, but also when you watch the Cowboys, you feel like their problems are way bigger than Dak. Two kind of whiffs. I don't know. Mahomes is, he's always going to be.
No, I think
with
yours is
betting odds.
Yours is, in my opinion, I think yours is pretty accurate. Like, if If you had the ceremony tomorrow, there's probably a handful of guys and Mahomes is in there. Dak is just not. The Cowboys look awful. He's not playing great either. But like you mentioned, this Cowboys team is a complete disaster. I thought my reasoning in going and picking this team is picking Dak to win MVP was I thought that he would just be have one of those seasons where it's like he's carrying this team and he's just putting them on their back. And let's be honest, he just hasn't been doing that. So it's a whiff for me for sure. But the Mahomes one is a work in progress. Again, it's not the typical Mahomes year that we're used to seeing him having, but I think he's been efficient, right? I know he has more picks than he does touchdowns, but again, team's undefeated, so he's got to be doing something right.
Yeah, we'll see. Speaking of Mahomes and the Chiefs, we both picked them to win the Super Bowl. Like you said, they're undefeated, but it's just been one of those. I feel like there's some other teams that people are just more confident in thus far in the season, just because how they've won some of their games. But there it is. Those were our picks going into the season before it all started. Some 2 months ago. We are now going to revisit each and every one of those and hand out awards based on what we've seen so far. We'll go right back to the top. The breakout player through 8 weeks in the NFL. Who's your guy?
I think I got to go Nico Collins here. And look, this is a guy that's been injured for 3 weeks, yet he's still top 10 in every single receiving metric outside of receptions. Like, he was on pace to, I should say, have a fantastic season. And I expect him to come back in a week and just really pick up right when he left off. And this Texans offense for a team that's 6-2, it's missing something. And that something is Nico Collins. He was in for a big season. We're talking maybe unanimously top 5-7 receiver type season where he would be going into the next year as like one of the elite 7 receivers in this league. So give me Nico Collins. I thought he was awesome early on in the season, and I expect him to continue off when he gets back next week.
Yeah, it's just crazy the last couple weeks watching Stroud and Houston, and they just look a lot less dangerous on offense without Nico Collins, whether it's how he stretches the field or what he can do intermediately. It's one of those players that, his quarterback play has definitely improved throughout his career, but you've also seen him just really, really blossom into a great receiver who helps make a quarterback get better as well. It's kind of that relationship that works back and forth. I'm going to go over to the defense side of the ball for my breakout player. Brian Branch of the Detroit Lions. He had a really strong rookie season last year. Came out of Alabama. Nick Saban guy. You know how he loves to work his DBs. You know, they're very versatile. They can play corner. They can play safety. The comp a lot of people were saying as he came out was Minka Fitzpatrick. So far this season, I think he's blossomed into a top 3 safety in football. He has just been so, so good in Detroit. And if we look at the Detroit Lions for the past couple of years, since they've had this kind of renaissance under Dan Campbell, it's been all about the offense, offense, offense. They've got some really good young players on this defense now, and I think Brian Branch is one of the guys who's kind of spearheading that movement there. So he's been my breakout player so far. I think he's already got 4 interceptions, so he's just been so, so good for the Lions. On to the sleeper team. What do you got?
So I had Chicago before the season. I still think they're a possible sleeper team, but I'm going to switch this. And I mean, this maybe breaks the definition of a sleeper team because they are sitting at 6-2, but they might just be the quietest 6-2 team I've ever seen. And that's the Buffalo Bills. I think losing a guy like Stephon Diggs, now they just replaced him with Amari Cooper, who hasn't been all that great through 2 weeks, but he is learning the playbook. I expect him to blossom later on the season. I think that's benefited Josh Allen's play and benefited this offense because now he is forced to spread the ball, give touches to Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, now Amari Cooper. James Cook's been running like he's got something to prove. This is a team that in an AFC conference that's so strong, you have teams like Baltimore, you have teams like KC, right? It's littered with talent and teams that ultimately could go on and to win the Super Bowl. But this Buffalo team, I don't know. There's something about it. And I wrote them out. I thought they sort of, you know, missed their window, which they might have. But I'm very, very, very interested to see how this Buffalo team plays this back half of the season and see how they get into the playoffs and what they do in the playoffs. Because if I'm a team like Baltimore, a team like Kansas City, even though I've had relative success against to Buffalo when it comes to the playoffs, but I would not be wanting to play, especially the way that Josh Allen's playing, and I expect him to continue playing. To me, they're one of the sleeper teams, absolutely.
It's just so funny over here. You hear the noise going into the playoffs. Maybe it's just or going into the regular season, excuse me. And maybe it's just because people get so tired of one team winning consistently in the AFC East since Brady's left. But every year, it's, oh, this year it's going to be the Jets that, you know, dethrone the Bills. This year it's going to be the Dolphins that dethrone the Bills. Those have a four-game lead on the division, and it's only week eight. And they've done it quietly, and I think that's why a lot of times people aren't talking about them when you talk about the Detroits and the Baltimores of the league. And they haven't necessarily been as flashy as those teams. They don't have a player who's running and putting up the numbers like Derrick Henry. Josh Allen has been very good this year. He hasn't been turning the ball over, but he hasn't created the highlight reels that Lamar has. And they haven't been scoring 50 points like the Lions have. So I think that's why a lot of people are kind of undervaluing and underappreciating what the Bills have done this season. But they've been so, so good. And I think that's a great pick. I think they fit into that sort of sleeper category. I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Rams, though. Veteran team, and I love how much weight we put into one game and one week into the NFL, because Cooper Kupp was supposed to be traded, and there was this super weird Matthew Stafford rumor that was going on. Just let this team get healthy. Sean McVay is too good of a coach to waste on any rebuilding and selling off your assets. No, you got a 37-year-old quarterback. You got a triple crown winner wide receiver that only has a couple years left. You go all in, and the 49ers aren't as good as they were before. Seattle's very up and down. Arizona is pesky. They hang around there. They've actually clawed their way back into this race, too, with a couple big, big wins. But the Rams, you're 3-4, and you are right there. You're half a game back of the division lead. Keep pushing. There's a lot of football left, and I simply think they're a sleeper because more than three-quarters of the matchups that you're going to play in this conference, I think the Rams have the better quarterback, because Matthew Stafford is a veteran. He's a Super Bowl winner. He's been there before. And when you have a guy like that, you have a chance. So I think people are, you know, turning a blind eye to the LA Rams.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're a sleeper team. They got sleeper written all over them, in my opinion. I would not be, look, they were a sleeper team going into the playoffs last year. They're going to do the same thing this year. That's a dangerous team, and I wouldn't want to play them for sure. Next one, most intrigue. Again, I had the Titans. You had Anthony Richardson. It's more so, it could be a player, it could be a team. I'm going to stick with the team here, and I'm going to go with Washington, because I'm talking intrigue. I want to pick a team that's going to be playing most likely in January. And the reason why I pick Washington is because I know they're a good team, but like, how good are they, right? Are they able to make a Cinderella run and go on to win the Super Bowl? I have no idea. I can't tell you that idea. I don't even know if they're, you look at Philly now, that looks like they've gotten better. Is Washington all of a sudden now taking the backseat to Philly despite just winning? I think there's still so much intrigue behind this team. Like, they didn't win. I know everyone wants to glorify the way they won off that Hail Mary, but it was a pretty ugly game before that, right? It's, in my opinion, Washington has this wide range of outcomes where they could go on, win 11, 12 games and go on a run into the playoffs. I could also see in the same hand them sort of taking a step back, maybe losing a couple games here and there, getting into the playoffs, but sort of just being that team. It's like, okay, next year they'll be good and they're one and done, right? I don't know. For me, it's very interesting. I'm going to be following them closely. I mean, especially the fact that the Cowboys got to play them twice, but as a big Jaden Daniels guy coming out and a big LSU guy, I'm all for it. I think Washington has deserved this. But they are definitely an intriguing team getting into the back half of the season.
You mentioned they still play the Cowboys twice. They still play the Eagles twice. Yep. They play the Giants this week, so that will kind of wrap up their matchups with them. But it's a lot of divisional football left to still play. And those are the matchups where you kind of worry about a young team late in the year. Can you grind out those wins and those tough divisional games? Because ultimately, that's the easiest way to get to the playoffs. It's winning your division. And, I mean, you mentioned the Eagles. Jalen Hurts in his last 3 weeks, no turnovers. He's been playing very, very safe, good football. And Saquon Barkley's having an OPOY-type season. So it's I like the term wide range of outcomes when you want to discuss or even think about what the future looks like for the Washington Commanders. I'm going to go with the team that they just played, the Chicago Bears, because the NFC North is an absolute battle, and they don't have any divisional games until week 12 and on. So the back half of their season is just loaded with these tough, physical rivals that they're going to be playing. And Caleb Williams, you're kind of at the point now with him where you've seen some really good and you've seen some really bad. And where I'm intrigued is, can he harness this very, very talented group of weapons and consistently, week in and week out, perform and lead your team to victory? The one other thing I'll say about Chicago is their defense, I think, has eclipsed everyone's expectations.
Oh, yeah,
it's the top five unit in the league right now. They're playing very hard. So what does the future look like for the Bears? Because it's been a promising start. I think they've exceeded everyone's expectations so far. There's two main questions. Can you do it consistently and get the best out of a group that's ready to win now? And two, if it doesn't go well, what does the future look like for Matt Eberflus? Because do you want to go into year two with Caleb with a new voice if, you know, they kind of fizzle out and don't make a playoff run in a very tough division? Do you keep him? Does he stay? I don't know. Just an intriguing team with definitely a lot of promise in the NFL right now.
Yeah, and we're going to learn a lot about this team sort of as we get into the back half of the season, because they go through a seven-game stretch to end their season, and they've got the Vikings, the Lions, the 49ers, the Vikings again, the Lions again, the Seahawks, and the Packers. So that's an absolute gauntlet last seven games there. So if they can get through that, I mean, that's a pretty cool team, a lot of intrigue, because I think they do have their cool parts. Like, their defense is awesome. Caleb Williams continues to impress and grow as a pocket passer. Their offensive line still isn't the greatest, but it's a team that has, like you said, intrigue. It's an awesome pick. I couldn't agree more. Biggest disappointment, I'm going to keep mine short and sweet, because you already kind of hit the nail on the head by absolutely smacking it dab right in the center with the New York Jets. To me, they're just terrible. I thought this was a team that was going to win 12, 13 games. I couldn't be more wrong. Because they sit 2-6, so I'm going to let that do all the talking, because I don't want to give this team any more talk, because I already hyped them up enough before the season and I was burned. So give me the Jets as the biggest disappointment.
I want to say the Jets again, but I was so right on them 2 months ago that for me, it personally, it wasn't a disappointment, because I just knew that they weren't going to be good. I'm going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence, $55 million a year. 55 million reasons right now to be terrified if you're a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, because things just are not working out there. I know they had some close, tough losses, but really, this is a team that by now should be competing. Brian Thomas Jr. is hurt. Christian Kirk's gone for the season. Doug Peterson, you have to think. I mean, we didn't talk about him when we talked about Dennis Allen and being the next coach fired. He's definitely a name that's kind of existing there too. It's just been a real dark season so far for the Jaguars. But we'll move on to our next category, which was, at the time, was quarterback to take a leap. We are now going to rename it to the best young quarterback. So it could be a rookie, it could be a second-year guy, third-year guy, anything after that, you're kind of, you should know by now. So we'll go best young quarterback so far this season. Who do you got?
I got C.J. Stroud. So look, in a new era where we're talking all this Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams type of stuff, I think that C.J. Stroud still, despite not necessarily lighting up the stat sheet, is having a very solid season, and he's continuing to build off of what he had last year. Now, is he going to throw for 35 touchdowns again? Probably not, but he is quietly leading the Texans to a 6-2 season, and that's without a star receiver, Nico Collins. I still think C.J. Stroud is a top five level quarterback. And the fact that I'm able to say that with confidence in the second year, just, I have no choice but to put him as the best young quarterback in football at the moment.
I like it. And maybe I've got kind of recency bias in my head. And also I'm using expectations and bringing those into the season, because I did not expect Jaden Daniels to be this good. So I'm going to go with him. The rushing aspect, the fact that they're 6-2 for a team that nobody even thought they were going to win six games all season. It's just been super, super impressive for a rookie quarterback in a situation that nobody thought was desirable going into the season. So I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels for best young quarterback. First coach fired was the next one. Or I guess now it will be called the next coach fired. We both talked about how we think it could be Dennis Allen. I just kind of mentioned Doug Peterson. Are you changing your pick?
I'm going to still go with Dennis Allen. I just think the Jaguars don't gain anything from firing Doug Peterson. At least the Saints can, because they could sort of roll, you know, Kubiak in there and see what happens. Maybe can spark something in the back half of the season. But yeah, Dennis Allen to me is like a lock in. If I was an odds maker, I'd probably be hammering that like minus 1500 type.
You think
thing.
He's gonna get fired in the regular season?
Oh yeah, I think he's gone. My opinion, I think there's real upset potential.
They lose to Carolina this week?
If they could lose to Carolina, yeah. I think Carolina is going to be cheese. Because the way that they lost in week one.
But they lose that every week to everybody.
Yeah, I know. But they just complain to
the Denver Broncos.
I know. I get it.
You told me a year ago that the Denver Broncos had the potential to run up the score on someone when a year ago they lost by 50 points to the Dolphins.
Those 5-3 Denver Broncos, by the way.
Oh, I can't believe they have a winning record. But hey, you know, Bonix has been pretty good. Sean Payton's doing a good job there. They're just, I don't know, they're not very likable.
Yeah, they're just
exciting.
Weird.
Yeah. It's a weird team.
Weird.
MVP so far. Who do you got?
I got Josh Allen. Like 17 touchdowns, one pick. Like, this is a guy that we wrote a post and we talked about it before on the show. He was the odds-on favorite to lead the league in interceptions this year. Like, he was supposed to be that guy that just goes and throws 15, 16 picks and gunslinger, but he is taking care of the ball and he is putting a lot of this football team on his back. 17 touchdowns, right? Like one interception. I think his stats speak for themselves. And the fact that they're 6-2 and they're doing what they got to do, right? Like they're going in, winning football games very quietly. I think you're going to start seeing him emerge in the back half of the season as it's like, hey, this guy is playing out of his mind. I know that Lamar Jackson is and Derrick Henry, whatever you want to put it, Jaden Daniels, I get it. But Josh Allen there, and I believe he is the odds-on favorite as well.
I was just going to say that.
For a guy that is odds-on favorite, nobody is talking about.
Our friends over at PointsBet, he's plus 275, Lamar Jackson plus 300. Lamar Jackson just 7 days ago became the MVP favorite for the first time this season, surpassing Patrick Mahomes. Now, after a quick one game, Josh Allen is now the new favorite, just barely. I still think it's Lamar Jackson. If I was handing it out today, I would give it to Lamar Jackson. I just think he's had a more special season. I often always talk about this too. It is more of a narrative-based award, and I think the fact that Lamar could go for MVP number 3, I mean, not that Josh Allen doesn't have a great narrative with Stephon Diggs leaving and him never having won an MVP, but I just think there's something special about Lamar Jackson's legacy this year and how great he's been playing. I'm also not going to overreact too much to one loss against the Jameis Winston-led Cleveland Browns, which I can't believe we haven't talked about them
yet. What's Jameis on
those
odds?
Where is he on these odds? He's probably off the books. I'm only going to scroll down so far. Yeah, he's the lowest I can go is Russell Wilson plus 50,000. Chris Jones plus 30,000. Yeah, that's not that bad of a bet. Why is Chris Jones on here?
Why is Russ plus 50,000?
Because Justin Fields is going to be back there after they lose to the Giants tonight, Justin Fields is going to be back there. That's why I still have Justin Fields in fantasy. I still have him on every single fantasy team. The last superlative, the last award we're going to give out, our midseason awards, we'll call it best team because it's not a Super Bowl pick.
Sure.
It's through 8 weeks, who has been the best team in the NFL?
I'm going with those Detroit Lions. I'm going with Pox Lions.
Original Pox Lions.
That's Pox Lions. This is those OG listeners know Pox Lions. This, I mean, what can't they do? They just absolutely dismantle teams. And people want to say, oh, it's Tennessee, it's Dallas. I get it. Those teams stink. But what do good teams do when they play bad teams? They don't lose. They
beat the wheels off of them.
They beat the brakes off of them. And if it was that easy, why didn't Baltimore do it to Cleveland? I get it, the Jameis Winston effect, but I don't know. To me, there's something special about this Detroit Lions team. I know we just did a quick audible from Super Bowl champions, the best team, but I had them written down here as Super Bowl champions. I'm switching my pick from the Chiefs to the Lions right at this moment. Give me those Lions.
I really want to say the Ravens, but... And I just, like I mentioned, I'm not going to overreact too much to a divisional loss, you know, on the road. That's something that happens all the time. I think last year they lost to a Kenny Pickett-led Steelers team around week 5. And, I mean, Lamar went on to tear it up the rest of the season, and they were such a good team. Their defense got better as the year went on. But it's how they're losing some of these games. Same old song and dance. These wide receivers dropping passes, letting Lamar Jackson down. It's just very, very frustrating. And I just think that the Lions feel like a more well-oiled machine. And also, I mean, neither of us has even mentioned the Kansas City Chiefs here. One thing I'll say about the Chiefs, I know earlier in the show I talked about how people don't feel as good about them. Everyone's got their blinders and they're just looking at Mahomes' touchdowns and interceptions. This might be the best defense in the NFL right now. And Travis Kelce's getting better. DeAndre Hopkins is going to get into a rhythm. Juju Smith-Schuster should come back healthy. Kareem Hunt looks good. Pacheco should be back. Like, let's not all be surprised in February when the Chiefs are back in the Super Bowl. I will say that. But so far through 8 weeks, I will give the award to the Detroit Lions. There it is, our midseason awards, our reactions to our preseason picks, some very good, some very bad. We've got a lot more information to work with now. Hopefully these midseason ones won't look as bad come December, January, February. But there it is, which means now we must move on to everyone's favorite segment of the week. And let me tell you, this guy is riding high. He walked in today with a smile on his face, a 2-0 week in the points bet picks of the week. Round of applause for Kat, because he has had an absolutely terrible season. And he said it week after week, I'm making a comeback. Well, that's our first step on the path to a comeback. I don't even remember who you picked.
I'm four games back. I got, you know what? I'll pull up the notes from last week.
I remember liking your picks at the time.
I had five games written down. I had the Bengals 2.5, didn't end up taking it. That wouldn't have hit. I had the Bills -3, lock of the week.
I took that one. Yeah, you took that.
I took the Jags +4.5, which also hit.
Did you take that on the show?
No, I didn't. I had the Bears written down here, -2.5, that didn't hit. And then the second pick, I hated to do it. It hurt me in the heart.
Oh, you took the 49ers.
I took the 49ers -4. So yeah, 2-0. You know, look, I'm still 5-9 on the season though, Pac. That ain't good enough. But I'm coming back. Hey, I'm coming back.
I had another 1-1 week, so you made up a game on me. And what makes it even worse is last week I said the bet of the year was the Dolphins -3 at the time we recorded. It ended up moving all the way to -4.5. That was the one I was most confident in, and they lost. So not a good look for me. I'm looking to rebound. It's been a while since I've had a 2-0 week. Still got a quite impressive record on the year. So you still do have some catching up to do, but I took the first pick last week. I will give you the first pick this week. And once again, these picks are sponsored by our friends over at PointsBet, the official betting partner of the CTB show. If you want to bet with us, download the PointsBet app because our picks are on there every single Monday night. We've got a same game parlay for Monday Night Football. And on Sundays, you can tail this guy's Cover 5, which...
It was okay this week.
It was okay.
I had a winning record, 3-2. But again, the way that my season has gone, just know that I lose on Hail Marys. I lose on fumble sixes. I lose on pick sixes. But it doesn't matter.
So the theme is you lose.
That's the theme. Okay. But, you know, losers lose. And sorry, what's the saying? Winners win, losers complain. I ain't a loser.
You were just complaining about how you lose.
I'm about to win, and I'm going to start my 2-0 week and claw back and ultimately have a better record than Pocket in the season by going with the Rams -1 on the road against the Seattle Midhawks, because that's what they are, is mid. This team, I watch them play, and I'm like, what is going on here? The Rams are way better. I get it, the home field advantage thing. I get it, the divisional thing. But tell me when and why Seattle is considered to be this glorified team where they are saying that if this was a even field game, they're just 3-point dogs against the Rams. I think the Rams are miles better than Seattle. I think Seattle hasn't beaten a good team because they haven't beaten a good team. Atlanta's a good team. I take that back. But Rams -1. Lock it in as the first overall pick. And I know the way that you think about those Rams, I know that that was on your list.
It was on my list. I don't know if it would have been my first pick. I usually don't do this because I like to stay away from Thursday Night Football, especially the road team on Thursday Night Football. And this line just looks like such a trap. But why are the, like, can someone tell me why the Texans are underdogs against the Jets? And I get it. Like, Stephon Diggs is banged up. Nico Collins is still going to be missing. CJ Stroud last couple weeks hasn't been on his best game, but we're literally talking about the biggest dumpster fire in the NFL right now on a short week with an interim head coach.
Why do we feel that they're going to be able to come together quickly, think of a game plan to actually play well and win a football game? I'm going to go with a team that's 6-2, team with a better head coach, the team with a better quarterback, the team with a better defense, skill group, everything. The Houston Texans, give me them as underdogs +1 against the Jets.
Yeah, you know what, Puck? We both said that off the show. I was like,
and honestly, that scares me. When you look at a line, why is this like when I looked last week,
two points.
The Dolphins only 3.5. Yeah, there's something's going on over there, but I'm gonna be foolish and I'm gonna take the Texans +1.
Yeah, you know what? I probably would stray away from that just because of the line movement. But you know what? I don't hate it. You're betting against a good team. You're betting on a good team who happens to be playing a team that's pretty bad right now. So I'm not gonna hate on that too much. The one thing that I do hate doing, but I'm going to continue to do it until I'm proving wrong, is bet against my football team. And for whatever reason, we are 2.5-point underdogs on the road against Kirk Cousins' Atlanta Falcons. Give me the Falcons by a field goal, whatever it is. We're not beating them. We're not going to Atlanta. We're not winning. For some reason, Vegas feels like they can just drop these lines because the average football fan still thinks the Dallas Cowboys are good because they have a big brand, right? You listen to the media, people are like, oh, they act all shocked why Dallas is so bad. They're bad because you look at their team. They got Jalen Brooks as their wide receiver too. Like Jalen Tolbert, who a great receiver, but is he a wide receiver 2 on a championship team? No way. He's wide receiver 4. They have one weapon, and that's CeeDee Lamb. Their backfield is like, they think it's 2016 again. I'm watching Dalvin Cook and Zeke share a backfield. If you told me this 10 years ago, I'd be like, wow, that's the best backfield in football. But it's 2024. These guys can't even run past 3 yards if their life's dependent on it. You know what I mean? Great careers, but time to hang them up a bit. Give me the Falcons. Give me Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is going to dot all over him. This team just is frustrated. It's getting ugly. And I'm not going to say I'm here for it, but I low-key am. So I'll profit while I can on it. Give me the Falcons -2.5.
Are we just betting against our own teams now? Because I think I'm going to take the Bills -6.5 for the other game. Josh Allen in his career against the Dolphins, 11-2, 34 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I don't think there is a player right now in professional sports that owns a franchise quite like Josh Allen owns these Miami Dolphins. Miami, you just played at home against a struggling Cardinals team with Tua back, and you still couldn't win the game. Now you play your toughest game all season in Buffalo, a place that you've never had any success. Your defense is so banged up right now, too. I can't see a way with how great the Bills are playing right now that they don't hang 35, 40 points on this Dolphins team, and the Dolphins are just chasing from really the first snap of the game. And it's sad because, you know, the Dolphins are 2-5 now. Their season's kind of on the line. You don't want to go to 2-6. You've already lost this game, this divisional matchup at home. Now you're going to Buffalo. I fear for this game, and I can get them at just a touchdown. I'm going to take the Bills. And there you go. I think last week we both took our teams, but you also bet against the Cowboys last week. I'm betting against the Dolphins this week. I don't think I've ever done that on this show. And I'm also going to this game, so it's kind of an emotional hedge.
We're both
going to this game. It's just, I'm going to the game, but I kind of don't want to watch it. Like, I just...
I'm actually going to the game, but I'm not going to the game.
You're just
going
to tailgate?
I'm just going to tailgate.
You're not even going to the stadium?
No, I'm going to just stay in the tailgate, watch it on TV or something. Every time I go just and
do
buy
that in
tickets,
your backyard.
Yeah, no, but we're not doing it in the backyard because a lot of guys are going to the game. I just don't want to spend $250 to watch.
Oh, so you're not even buying a ticket?
No, I'm just going tailgate. I'm going to drink and eat.
Okay, and always. I think the first time I ever went to a Miami Dolphins game, I always complain about the Dolphins crowd just because I think it sucks. But like back when they weren't as, never mind. I was gonna say back when they weren't as good as they were now. They sucked this season, but they were supposed to be good.
Yep.
Back, you know, in the Tannehill days where they were 7-9 every year. The crowd would be empty, and you'd go outside, and everyone's just tailgating the parking lot. And sometimes people would only go in for the fourth quarter if it was a close game. And that just really bothered me. I'm glad you're not buying a ticket and you're doing that. It's a smart way to do it.
But yeah.
I will be in the stadium, and I am scared for what I'm about to watch. But yeah, Josh Allen owns the Dolphins, and hopefully, you know, well, I'm not going to say hopefully because I hope I lose this one. I hope I go 1-1 this week, and the Dolphins find a way to win. But there it is, our picks of the week. Once again, sponsored by our
friends over at PointsBet Sportsbook. Make sure to use code BLITZ when signing up. And like I said earlier, you can find our picks every single week on the PointsBet app. But as we continue to look ahead over to week 9, there is an absolute monster matchup with two NFC North heavyweights. It's the first meeting of the year between the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers. And this is our tick pick game of the week. Kat, who do you see coming out with the edge in this one?
This has game of the week written all over it, Pac. And you look at the Lions, look at the Packers. This is two NFC heavyweights who happen to be division rivals going right at it. And in Lambeau Field, I just wish this was in like December, right? Like, give me that cold, possible snowy type of game, physical teams. But I gave them their flowers early on in the show. I gotta go with Detroit here. I have to. And this is a team that just continues to exceed expectations, and I think they're playing their way into ultimately Super Bowl favorites. And Dan Campbell's doing a fantastic job. Ben Johnson's going to get paid a ton of money. I hope it's by the Cowboys to be a head coach, but he is going to be a fantastic head coach, going to probably be the biggest fish to fry. Jared Goff throw 3 touchdown passes, throw 80 yards, right? Like, when you're winning football games by scoring 54 points and your quarterback is throwing for 80 yards, that's when you know you got a good team. You got the two-headed monster in the backfield, got Amara St. Brown, you got Jameson Williams who's suspended, you got that offensive line, that defense, Brian Branch. Like, there is so many good players on this football team, and I guess that's what happens when you're bad for so long. You just stack, 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 stack. But this is a darn good football team, and the Packers, unfortunately, are just another victim of Dan Campbell's kneecap-biting Detroit Lions.
I'm having a tough time with this one because I don't know the status of Jordan Love. It sounds like he avoided a major injury, and he's just going to be day-to-day. But that doesn't really signify whether he'll be ready by Sunday. In my opinion, when two good teams go at it in the same division, I like to go with the home team. Packers are 4-point underdogs right now. Another thing that doesn't really tell me much if Jordan Love's playing or not, just because the Lions are that good. I'm going to take the Packers to pull off the upset, though, in this one. And that's hoping that Jordan Love does suit up and play. He has just been so, so good, barring a couple, you know. He's had these games where he throws a couple bad passes and, you know, he's turning the ball over a lot. But when you see the good, it is just so, so elite, and he's playing at such a high level. So love what I'm seeing from Jordan Love right now, and I mentioned it earlier, and that's kind of the theme with everyone in the NFC North. The Packers' defense has been very, very promising this season. So this should be a great game. I'm going to go with the home team, and then when they meet again in December in Detroit, that's the one that I think that the Lions will take home. But this should be a good game nonetheless. That's why it's our game of the week, sponsored by our friends over at TickPick. If you're looking to go to this game or any NFL game for that matter, make sure to head over to the TickPick app. Use code CTB20 for $20 off at checkout. And we always say it, the best part about TickPick, absolutely zero hidden fees. The price you see on the screen is the price that you pay. There's none of this nonsense at checkout where the price completely changes for the game you're looking to go to. So there it is, Lions versus Packers, the first matchup in what should be just a great division to follow in the NFC North, because there's just so many good teams there. And there it is. We're 8 weeks through. It's been a great season so far. We gave some predictions. We looked back at some old predictions. Yep. And that's going to be the episode this week, guys.
Yeah, we'll catch you guys next week. Hopefully, both Pac and I go 2-0 in our picks. I know Pac wants to go 1-1, but you know we want to go 2-0, right?
Emotional hedge.
It's an emotional hedge. We'll be in there. Maybe, who knows? I know I said I didn't want to go to the game, but maybe if the Tick Pick app, you know, has some cheap tickets, I know everyone's going to want to try and use Game Time. But I'm going to say, like, you know what? What are you doing? Like, you got to use Tick Pick because they're the cheapest ones out there. And so who knows, right? If the prices are cheap enough, which I know they will be on TickPick, you'll catch me in the crowd. Maybe I'll bring a Dolphins jersey and
I have extra for you if you need.
Okay,
no problem. We can both rock Tua together and watch the Dolphins stun the Bills for the first time in Buffalo since probably 10 years. There it is, guys.
Take
Thanks
care.
For tuning in.
See ya.